अलस्तम ऋषि मुकब्बि मुक्केभ्यो यता शीलम यता रुचि आत्मजा परिदेहध्य विस्त्रीहि यशो भुवि. Translation. Therefore, today, please give away your daughters to the topmost or the foremost of the sages, with due regard for the girls' temperaments and likings, and thereby spread your fame all over the universe. Please repeat. Therefore, today, please give away your daughters to the foremost of the sages, with due regard for the girls' temperaments and likings, and thereby spread your fame all over the universe. Purport. The nine principal rishis or sages are Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulascha, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vashishta, and Atharva. All these rishis are most important, and Brahma desired that the nine daughters already born of Kardama Muni be handed over to them. Here, two words are used very significantly. Yata Shilam and Yata Ruchi. The daughters should be handed over to the respective rishis, not blindly, but according to the combination of character and taste. That is the art of combining a man and woman. Men and women should not be united simply on the consideration of sex life. There are many other considerations, especially character and taste. If the taste and character differ between the man and woman, their combination will be unhappy. Even about 40 years ago, in Indian marriages, the taste and character of the boy and girl were first of all matched, and then they were allowed to marry. This was done under the direction of the respective parents. The parents used to astrologically determine the character and tastes of the boy and girl, and when they corresponded, the match was selected. This girl and this boy are just suitable and they should be married. Other considerations were less important. The same system was also advised in the beginning of the creation by Brahma. Your daughters should be handed over to the rishis according to taste and character. According to astrological calculation, a person is classified according to whether he belongs to the godly or demoniac quality. In that way, the spouse was selected. A girl of godly quality should be handed over to a boy of godly quality. A girl of demoniac quality should be handed over to a boy of demoniac quality. Then they will be happy. But if the girl is demoniac and the boy is godly, then the combination is incompatible, and they cannot be happy in such a marriage. At the present moment, because boys and girls are not married according to quality and character, most marriages are unhappy and there is divorce. It is foretold in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali, married life will be accepted on the consideration of sex only. When the boy and girl are pleased in sex, they get married. And when there is deficiency in sex, they separate. That is not actual marriage, but a combination of men and women like cats and dogs. Therefore, the children produced in the modern age are not exactly human beings. Human beings must be twice born. A child is first born of a good father and mother, and then he is born again of the spiritual master and the Vedas. The first mother and father bring about his birth into the world. Then the spiritual master and the Vedas become his second father and mother. according to the Vedic system of marriage, for producing children, every man and woman was enlightened in spiritual knowledge. And at the time of their combination, to produce a child, everything was scrutinizingly and scientifically done. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mimitam Jine Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Gugam Guru Diva Chalam Pangam Langayate Girmet Kipitamande Sri Gurum Dina Taranam Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. It's 9:27:37. Well, very interesting purport Srila Prabhupada gives us. A very concise description and how important it is to produce. How important the combination of a man and woman needs to be, how important it is to have it there in order to produce proper offspring. For the, as Brahma states here in the translation, or Prabhupada points that out in the purport, for the continuation, or for the happy, I guess you could say, happy situation in material life, if there really is such a thing. But anyway, here Lord Brahma is expressing his thanks. We can understand he's quite aware, but he's expressing his thanks to Kardama for having produced such very nice daughters. Because, again, good progeny has to be there. A good daughter, a good husband, has to be there in order to have a good society. Good population has to be there. And a good population is the basic principle, Srila Prabhupada points out, is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress. And here, Brahma, being in a very responsible position, Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, na dhaivim na cha sasyan, that he's a demigod, and as a demigod, it's understood that they should be responsible to their dependents. And see to it that the creation goes on in a very orderly fashion. In order for that to be there, the progeny have to be educated. They have to be produced of qualified parents to avoid, as Arjuna expressed in the Bhagavad Gita, Jayate Varna Shankara, that we want to avoid that situation of having unwanted children. Because again, that means the degradation of society. And when that degradation is there, then how can you have a peaceful and prosperous society? What to speak of individuals who are interested in spiritual progress, right? Varnashramacharavata purushena parakpuman. The idea is that the good progeny will be eligible to follow the Varnashram system. And that Varnashram system is there, Vishnu Arajyate Puman. It's there to glorify the personality of Godhead, to engage in his service. So therefore, the Lord, he comes himself, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, but sometimes he also sends his qualified representatives. And in this case, this would be Lord Brahma, who's making sure that the nine daughters who were of exemplary character and quality would be given over to qualified persons. And Prabhupada points that out by the nine principal sages. And these sages, we can understand from fourth canto Bhagavatam. In the next canto, there's a very nice detailed description of these different sages and the children who were produced of them with the in union with the daughters of Kardama. They were there's some very wonderful personalities, Kasyapa and Dharatreya and Durvas, Bihaspati, Chitraketu, the 60,000 Vyalikas. These are all special personalities, and they're produced of qualified individuals. And therefore, he was very attentive that they be given to qualified persons. Because again, the point is to educate those offspring so that they can be qualified to progress in spiritual life. Vishnur Arajade Pumang. Ultimately, it's to engage in remembering and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada gives some very interesting comments in this regard, where he says that from the very beginning, or from 0 to 5, he points out that the parent can be lenient with the child. And then from 6 to 10, you're a little bit more strict. And then from 10 to 15, you're even stricter, like a tiger, Prabhupada said. But then from 16 on, you become a friend, and you let them develop their character. So that guidance has to be there. Of course, learning and remembering is also very important. Prabhupada made one comment that just like he was commenting on a parent instructing their children and teaching them arithmetic. And Prabhupada said, it's good. 2 plus 2 is 4. 5 plus 5 is 10. But Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. So the idea is that we can learn and become expert in so many things, but the ultimate principle is to keep the personality of Godhead in the center. And by remembering the personality of Godhead, then everything is achieved. So that again, it begins by having proper offspring, so that the children will do as they're seen. Prabhupada pointed out that the children will do as they are seeing others doing. It's paramount that the offspring be led properly, taught properly. Prabhupada even said to one Mataji that he gave her instruction that you should do like this and like that, and if you can't do it, then I'll take care. This is how important it is that the that one who has become a father, mother, guru, even a demigod, should be responsible in developing a proper population, a proper family, a proper child, so that, again, society can function properly. As Prabhupada points out here, that this is even 40 years ago, even most, of course, sometime, I don't know if they're still doing now, but according to this purport, when Srila Prabhupada wrote it, even 40 years ago, this was done astrologically, that the combination was done astrologically. And you can just imagine a wheel with different spokes. And those spokes, and those, it divides that wheel into various houses. And those houses are governed by a certain sign and a certain deity. And each one of those houses has a dominant factor in determining what a person will be like. And these considerations were there in the matching of the boy and the girl. That personality, other than, as Prabhupada points out here, it's quoted in the 12th canto, right? Dampatye biruchir hetur mayaiva vyabaharike. That it's not according to just the sex activity, but it's done according to, what did he say? A taste and character. And that's determined by that, that astrological consideration. That a personality has to be considered. That finances or internal values between people have to be considered, or the connection or the ability to interact with another individual has to be considered, or how one nurtures oneself and others has to be considered, or how one expresses oneself, or the creativity that's there within a person, or the condition of the body and the mind. And even the more subtler imagination and feelings. So all of these considerations are done, as Prabhupada points out here, even most recently. And in Vedic times, this was there in order to, again, produce a qualified population. Otherwise, as Prabhupada points out here, they won't be happy. A girl of godly quality should be handed over to a boy of godly quality. A girl of demoniac quality handed over to a demoniac quality boy. And then they will be happy. So the question would be, how will the demoniac be happy? The point is that they'll be happy in their work and in a better... the opportunity, first of all, there'll be less chaos in society, and they'll also be in a better position to hear when the opportunity comes to have that good association. just like devotees have to sometimes go out and we talk to people who are engaged in terrible activities, and they consider themselves very happy and comfortable in life. But because that opportunity has been given, was given by fate, they have met a devotee, the opportunity to hear, even unknowingly, or unknowingly they're engaging in some agyata sukriti. They're benefiting. So for that reason, again, a girl of demoniac quality should be handed over to a boy of demoniac quality and good. Otherwise, that combination is incompatible, and which is the case in present society, that as a result, they're not married according to quality and character, but instead on some superficial, with some superficial attraction. And as a result, there's unhappiness and divorce. And again, this was, Prabhupada points out, is predicted in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, that the combination will be only considered on the superficial qualifications of a person, how they may be very expert in cheating or very expert in a sense gratification. It's again very interesting how Lord Brahma here is quite concerned that the daughters be handed to qualified persons, which is very instructive for the present age, because where there's an absence of that, there's no consideration in that regard to produce fine children. Chanakya Pandit comments that an entire forest can be destroyed with a little fire in the hollow of a single tree. The entire forest can be destroyed. So similarly, a bad child can destroy the entire family. And then he points out that also in the forest, you may have just one single flowering tree which can bless the whole forest. That a good child can benefit or bless the entire family. It's so important to understand that. And unfortunately, the age is so topsy-turvy that people are have no interest in such things, and they think it to be very superficial. Of course, for devotees, as devotees, one engaged in devotional service goes beyond those material calculations that we may find in astrology. Of course, we take it with a grain of salt, you can say. We listen to it, but we don't consider it as our primary purpose. Srila Prabhupada also, there's a very nice discussion in which he spoke with an astrologer, a Bhrigu Shastri in Hoshiarpur, before he came to America. This was in 65. And Prabhupada went to see this individual and had a Bhrigu reading. And in the reading, the Shastri said that very soon you'll be going to the West and you'll be very successful in preaching. And Prabhupada stood up and raised his hands and just said, Hari Bol. So it's not that he was certainly obliged or conducted or working according to such material calculations. We take them, we consider them and try to understand them and sometimes reflect on how they help us in our own lives or how it may help us to understand another person. But our basis is taking the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the instruction of the Guru. Just as here Lord Brahma, he's giving the advice to Kardama that give your daughters to these qualified men. I can see your daughters are very qualified. They should be given to very qualified persons, and the progeny produced of them will be very great. As we mentioned earlier, there'll be great personalities, Anumati or Dattatreya, or the Vaikalikas. All these are great, great personalities, and by their coming in to this material sphere, this society, or this material energy, this material world, this material life can be a place of spiritual advancement. So, and there are any questions or comments? Sam Chandra Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. Actually, this verse is very important because it actually answers or hints two points in the life of Kardama Muni. The two points is basically, the first point is, why did Kardama Muni, before, you know, he impregnated Devahuti, why was he traveling? Like, you know, you remember, right? He was traveling all over different places, right? That's the first question, the first point. And the second point is that, why did Kardama Muni expand into nine forms? I mean, we give some reasons, right? When we were discussing those points, we gave some reasons. But actually, this verse is actually hints the reason why Kardama Muni has done so. Because the primary reason for Kardama Muni to give the nine daughters is for the expand the population.
Yeah.
And that is done by giving these daughters to the nine sages.
Yeah.
And why nine sages? Why not five sages? Why not 12 sages? Because nine has some significance. Because for the creation to happen, that specific number is required to create enough diversity. Just like demonic nature, divine nature, there are much more diversities. And each sage is having a certain temperament.
Yes, certain temperament and quality.
Yes.
And taste.
And then for him to have a wife, she has to match the same temperament. So the Kardama Muni's job was also not just creating a daughter, but of a different, of a variety who will suit the one of the nine sages.
Yeah, there's so much of a bigger picture in this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So for him to do that, that is why basically he was traveling different places, because in the Garbhadana Samskara, it is mentioned that the consciousness of the husband affects the consciousness of the child. So for him to have produce a specific child of that consciousness, he should have that specific consciousness while producing it. That's why he was traveling, to create that impressions in the mind of Devahuti and Kardama himself. And the reason why he was expanding to nine forms instead of having nine times, right? Nine forms is because each form is imbibing a specific consciousness of a variety, which when produced, he will have a child of a different temperament and liking.
Yeah.
So actually this verse gives a hint why Kardama Muni was traveling, and this also hints why Kardama Muni expanded to nine forms to create the diversity.
Yeah,
and we don't see that same thing when he was producing Kapila. Actually, when before Kapila was producing, he was doing austerities. He was not traveling or he was not enjoying or stuff like that, because that's a different purpose. But this purpose of the nine daughters is purely for the sake of procreation.
And it's interesting to note also that the daughter takes on the qualities of the father. So as he was traveling and his duty was to expand the population and connect with various rishis, so he produced a daughter which would be suitable to that rishi, so that the there would be a continuum of offspring. Yeah. Very, very interesting. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.